Maya's fourth day meeting this Saturday at Marlboro Light. I was playing with y'all. Okay, at Winston then. No, at Marlboro Baptist Church. Amen. Marlboro Baptist Church, 4:30 is the fourth day, and at 6:30 is they're just a regular gathering. So y'all please be there. I've been I normally hang into all of them, but I've had a hard time lately because I've been going to see, the only time I can see Bethany is the same time they're having the Emmaus meeting. And I really do appreciate the Emmaus folks, but Bethany needs me right now more. And so I'm going to go see her, but she's doing great. Wow. That's right. That's right. If you have been have gone to an Emmaus walk yourself, and you want to be a sponsor, the way you become a sponsor is you have to first go to this meeting. When you go to this meeting, then you'll be signed up, and you can go and you can do that. Amen. Amen. Get your Bibles out. Oh, don't forget hot dogs and pizza and all kinds of junk. I mean, food. It's really wonderful food, but it's junk food. Amen. Pizza and hot dogs is the best junk food in the world. Amen. I love it. Amen. Stand up, get your Bibles out. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Now today I believe that I'm going to camp out on some doorsteps. Of course, I camp out on doorsteps all the time. Not me, but the Holy Spirit. And I think the Holy Spirit's going to do some big-time camping out today, because wait till you see what I'm going to be talking about. Let me ask you a question. Has anybody had any problem with this lately? Yeah, we're going to... stress. Amen. You know what stress is? Stress is the body's action of fighting back mentally, spiritually, emotionally, fighting back as the pressure is fighting it. Amen. As the pressure is fighting you. And the more pressure that you have on you, the more your body tries to push back. And as your body tries to push back, what happens is it begins to overwhelm your psyche. It begins to overwhelm you mentally, spiritually, emotionally. So as you get overwhelmed, then things really begin to happen that you don't want to happen. Amen? I know nobody in here has ever felt that way. Amen. How many here has ever felt something happen you really didn't want to happen? And I'm not talking about somebody else, I'm talking about your own self. Okay, stress. Somebody say, I didn't say stretch, I said stress. Amen. Stress is when you're stretched about as far as you can stretch, and now it's just dangling. Amen. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. You got your Bible, say amen. You ready? Be careful for nothing. What in the world does that mean? Be careful for nothing. I'm glad you asked. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. Y'all say everything. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace, your mercy. We thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. God, to worship you in spirit and in truth, I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us, God, in such a way that we're going to know when we leave this place that you've been here, that you have touched us, that something special has taken place, and that we have got another one of those immunization shots. We've got another one of those antibiotic shots. We've got something. We've got us a tetanus shot. Lord, to take care of what's going on around us. I ask you right now, Lord, to help us, Lord, not look to anything today but to your word and be touched by your spirit. Lord, in the name of Jesus, you're an awesome God. You're a powerful God, and we trust you totally. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The church said, amen, amen, amen. Now, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise as you're sitting down. You know, recently at the end of a job interview, the HR director asked a young engineer fresh out of MIT, which is pretty cool because I was doing some counseling yesterday, premarital counseling, to a couple that's over an hour away. I don't mean an hour, I mean an hour time zone away. Okay, and so I was on Skype. And he was a helicopter pilot, and now he is an engineer, a petroleum engineer, and of course she's a PhD, and so it's pretty cool talking to these people. And I thought about this right after I got through talking with him, wonderful guy, after I got through talking with him, then I happened to read about this. I said, this is perfect, Lord, I think you're trying to tell me something, amen. So reaching the end of the interview, job interview, the HR director asked the young engineer fresh out of MIT, and what starting salary were you looking for? The engineer said, oh, in the neighborhood of $125K a year, $125,000, depending on the benefits package. Then the HR manager said, well, what would you say to a package of 5 weeks vacation, 14 paid holidays, full medical and dental, company matching retirement funds up to 50% of your salary, and a company car leased every 2 years? Say a red Corvette. This year, sat up straight and said, wow, are you kidding? She said, yeah, but you started it. Amen. Well, but here we are. A lot of us have got some things started in our life that we need some help with. Amen. We need to get past some things. Matter of fact, I can tell just as good when I talk to people. I can tell just as good when I look in the mirror if I'm having a stressful day. Some of us have stressful times. Some of us have stressful days. Some of us just have a stressful life. I mean, no matter what you do, it seems like you're always behind the eight ball. You're always trying to dig out of a hole. It seems like you're always behind. And see, it's when you're always feeling like you're always behind and always trying to dig out of the hole is when stress seems to really hit you really, really hard. How many has felt like you had to dig out of a hole lately? Amen. You felt like you were trying to just give it all you got, just enough to get up so you can peep over the edge to see what's going on. So it's called stress. I hear it all the time. I am stressed out. I hear it constantly. Pastor, I am stressed out. Preacher, I am stressed out. David, I'm stressed out. I'm stressed. And you know they're really stressed when they stop going from I'm stressed out to I'm stressed out. You know what? That's common. Matter of fact, I call stress the quicker picker-upper. I know, we're not talking about Barony, we're talking about stress. It's the quicker picker-upper because stress raises your sugar level, it raises your blood pressure, it raises the insomnia rate in your life, it raises your temper, it raises your sensitivity, it raises the request in you to say, Calgon, take me away. How many remember the Calgon commercials? My wife tells me all the time, people are under, there's a generation gap. You got to remember, some people have no idea what you're talking about. There used to be a commercial a long time ago, and they had a stressful day, and Calgon bath oil beads, and it was called, she goes, Calgon, take me away. Let me just lay in the bathtub and just fill the bubble bath and forget about all the other stuff that happened during the day. So when you find yourself under stress, it isn't just mentally, it is spiritually and it is physically damaging to your body if it's not handled right. There's two kinds of stress. There's a healthy stress, and then there is an unhealthy stress. A healthy stress keeps us moving. A healthy stress helps us keep deadlines. A healthy stress keeps us going in the right direction, helps us. As a matter of fact, if you're going to build your body, if you're going to work out with weights, or if you're going to try to exercise, it is a healthy stress that helps your body change. A healthy stress. But if somebody got you and they got you under the gun all the time, and then you start losing weight, and then you start doing things, that's an unhealthy stress, and it's bad on your body. So it's very important to understand that God has a formula for stress. So there was nobody back in the Bible that had to worry about a car payment, worry about a house payment, and worry about getting their job done and having two jobs. And hold on, we ain't through yet. Amen? Even though somebody might not have had all of that, they still had stress in their life. So let's just go a little bit further in here and look a little bit closer. If anybody understood stress, Paul did. Let me tell you a little bit about what Paul was doing all the time. Here's stress. Look, he evangelized constantly. He pastored all the time. He trained ministers. He was persecuted, and he had a very active prison ministry. Amen. He was always being locked up. Amen. So here's a guy that knows about stress because he's always evangelizing, always pastoring, always training somebody. He's always being fought after and being sought after to cause harm to him. And and he has his active prison ministry, and he has all of this at one time. So Paul understood stress. Before he was converted, everybody was patting him on the back thinking he was awesome. But after he was converted, that soon left, and the same guys that were loving on him were hating on him. Not only were they hating on him, they actually were trying to destroy him every chance they got. So if you're in here today and you think you may be stress prone, I'm going to give you a little test. Okay? I want you to watch this test. If you can answer, after we get through, I'll tell you how many you got to answer. But here it is. Here's your stress test. Here's to find out if you're stressed or stress prone. You plan your day unrealistically. You're the first to arrive, the last to leave. You're always in a hurry. You make no plan for relaxation. You feel guilty about doing anything other than work. You see unforeseen problems as a setback or a disaster. You're always thinking about other things when working. You're always overextending yourself. Now, has anybody said, have you had binoculars watching me lately? Matter of fact, if you can answer, look, get ready now. This is going to blow you away. If you can answer one of these, yes. One. Look at the list. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Look at, but if you can answer one yes, you're stress prone. Let me go back again. You plan your day unrealistically. You're first to arrive, last to leave, always in a hurry. You make no plan for relaxation. You feel guilty about doing anything other than work. You see unforeseen problems as a setback or disaster. You're always thinking of other things when working. In other words, you're multitasking and trying to figure out another problem while you're working on another, and you're always overextending yourself. If you answered yes to one of them, you're stress prone. But if you answered more than one, here's what you do. But each one you add to it, just go ahead and multiply it by 10. Wow. And by the time you get through the list, if you've gone through and you got 4, 5, 6 things on that list, I'm here to tell you, you picked the right day to be in church. God sent you here because today is your day. It's like it's fine to say, today's your day. Today is your day. Amen. So I said, look, now, if that's not good enough for me to tell you, you know, if this is the traits of the stress prone, now I'm going to do something a little bit different. Now I'm going to tell you, watch this now. And this is some of the things that when you're stressed out, you're going to be in danger physically. You're going to find yourself sweating, panic. You might even can't even see things the way they are. You don't even see people the way they used to see them. Things are kind of tight. Amen? So watch this now. Here's the signs of stress overload. Get ready. Decision-making becomes difficult. Both major and minor decisions become a bad thing. Increased or excessive daydreaming about getting away from it all. Calgon taking you away. Increased use of cigarettes, alcohol, tranquilizers, or uppers. Thoughts trail off while speaking or writing. Did I just trail off? Okay. Excessive worrying about things. Sudden outburst of temper and hostility. Paranoid ideas and mistrust of friends and family. Forgetfulness for appointments, deadlines, and dates. Frequent spells of brooding and feeling of inadequacy. Reversals in your usual behavior. Now, if you find yourself right here again, all it takes is one. But if you can find yourself here multiple times, it's time to take a stress break. Amen? Because let me just tell you something. Have you ever seen that frog in the blender? It was a messy thing. Anybody ever seen a frog explode? It's a messy thing. I think DC and Daniel put an air hose to one time and blew it. Whatever they did to it, they blew up a frog. Amen. It was a messy thing. And then when mama got a hold of him, it was even more messy. Amen. So now, here we go. What do you do if you answered one, just one, of the last two slides? What do you do? One, just one. Not including 4, 5, or 6. Just one. Somebody say just one. But stress is like Lay's potato chips. No one can eat just one. Usually going to be 2, 3, 4, 5 on that list. So here it goes. First, you got to recognize something. Here's what you got to recognize. You got to recognize the aggravating aspects of your job in your life. Just think about it. You got to think about these things. You say, well, is that being negative? No, this is being very positive. Think about the aggravating aspects of your job and your life. Then you ask God to give you some discernment. Y'all have heard the serenity prayer. God, grant me the courage to change what I can and deal with things I can or change things I can and things I can't. Just learn to live with them and give me the wisdom to understand the difference. So you ask God, now God, what can I change? And then God, after you tell me this is something I can change, give me the ability to change it. But whatever I cannot change, give me the ability to deal with it. Suck it up, so to speak. I know most guys are going to just suck it up. Amen? You know, deal with it. So first, recognize there's things in our life that really do get to our nerves. Amen? I'm not going to say you're sitting, but no, I'm sorry. The guys all looked down when I said that. I said, how many can say they're sitting by that? And all of a sudden, all the guys went, that's a good move, fellas. Identify. Identify your emotional needs in all of this. Here's the problem. You're so busy trying to help others, and you're so busy trying to get it done that you don't take care of yourself. When you're on an airplane and the airplane starts going down, what's the first thing they tell you to do? Put on an oxygen mask. And they tell you what, put your oxygen mask on before you go help anybody. Because if you don't put your oxygen mask on first, you're not going to survive long enough to help anybody else. So it's important that you recognize there's some emotional needs and then find ways to meet it. And here's one. This one here is a hard one for several people. Me at times too. Get ready. Come on there, buddy. Where you at? Have I turned it off? Oh, there it goes. Practice listening. You know, it's more relaxing than talking. It's just listening. Just practice listening. You don't always have to be talking. You don't always have the answer. You know, if you're a fix-it person, in your mind, as soon as you start hearing something, all of a sudden your mind just starts talking about, here's the problem, and here's a solution. And sometimes if you're not careful, you're not even listening to them. You're just waiting for them to take a breath so you can tell them how to fix it. You know, it's aggravating when I'm hurting and I go talk to somebody and they're not listening to me. They're just waiting for me to be quiet long enough so they can tell me how to fix it. So sometimes just listen. Just listen. It's amazing what it can do. And then finally, watch this. Be sensitive to change. See, sense the change coming, make adjustments, and then make your changes manageable. If you don't, they'll become insurmountable. Now that's pretty cool. That's just common things that we learn about. We're going to the Bible now. We're going to go here, and we're going to check this out. There's 5 stress reducers, 5 ways to get over stress. You see, you can't stop some of the things that's happening in your life. You cannot stop it. There's no way. There's certain things happening to you. There's things happening to you this morning. There's going to be things happening this afternoon. There's going to be phone calls. There's going to be things you got to do. There's things on your job. You cannot change it. So remember, you are to listen, learn how to deal with the change. So here we go. Here it is. Here's Paul. And Paul, just what we just read, he's going to help us. Now, I'm going to be quick about it. If I don't get quick about it, don't stress out. Ready? You'll be able to remember these because it's just they're all with R's, okay? R&R. How many like to have some R&R? Okay, you're getting ready to get some. Ready? Look, number one, rejoice in the presence of the Lord. Stress gets you so bound up and gets you so out of focus that you even forget to praise God. You'll forget this stuff. You'll forget all of this. You'll be under the gun, and all of a sudden now you're just thinking about yourself. You're only thinking about your own mind, your own will, your own way to get out of this, making your own plans. How am I going to get through this, God? David, you got to figure this out. No. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation Be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. See, watch this. Didn't say, look, don't rejoice in your circumstances. There's things that happen I don't like. I have preached, I don't know how many funerals lately, and or weddings, and sometimes both at the same time. Just see if y'all are listening. I've preached a bunch of funerals and a bunch of weddings. And you know what? I see those circumstances are not good, the funerals. Go to hospital, go places, go work with somebody, and you go to help somebody. And the job I have, I didn't know this when the Lord put me in this kind of work. I had no idea. It's like when I was a chaplain, on-call chaplain at Pittmore Hospital. And that night I ministered to 57 people in one night from 8 at night to 8 in the morning and dealt with 5, 6, 7 deaths. You know, people never called me to say, can you come help us rejoice? We just had a baby born. Can you come over and help us celebrate some good news? No, they always called me. Code Blues. They always called me at death. They called me when somebody was trying to make major decisions about surgeries or if they were just told they were going to die and I'd have to go minister to these people. And not only that, there was always bad news, but when I got there, I had to do it on the spot. I didn't even know these people. So I had to get this stuff. I had to trust God to give me wisdom along the way so when I walked in the room, I could do something effectively. You say, very seldom hear good news. Some of y'all are hearing your job right now. Very seldom do you hear the good stuff. You're always hearing bad stuff. Especially if you're a fix-it person or a person that's in the middle of something, you know, and you're always trying to get things moving, you're always hearing bad stuff. And so if you're not careful, you'll begin to be circumstance-oriented and you'll forget about God. We can't be circumstance-oriented. Circumstances can be negative, they can be positive, but God is always the same. So I don't rejoice in my circumstances, but I rejoice because nothing can separate me from the presence of God, no matter how bad. No matter how bad. You see, this is pretty cool right here. He says, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Now that doesn't necessarily mean the second coming of the Lord's coming. You know what it means? It means that the Lord is here. He's with me. I love that song we just sang, and it said, he stands in the fire beside me. I can be riding down the road and that song come on, and sometimes I have to pull over to the side of the road because I'm singing that song where it says he stands in the fire beside me. I get so choked up, it tears me up. DC told me today, it tears him up too. When you hear it, he stands in the fire beside me. He don't necessarily quench it, but he don't run from it either. So here it is. Paul knew he was not in prison alone, but he was in there with the Lord. Isn't that awesome? You see, no matter where you are, how dark the road, how dismal the prison, how big the problem, Jesus is always there. He says, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. This joy should be continual, not sometimes, because he's always, always with me. You've heard me talk about this a few times. I'm going to try to take it from a different angle this time. But when you rejoice in the Lord, the joy of the Lord is a thermostat, not a thermometer. A thermostat just registers the conditions around here. I mean, a thermometer. But a thermostat controls the conditions. Wow. Some of y'all in here right now, you got conditions that you don't like. You don't have to register the condition. You go to God and trust Him. And He'll take care of it. You see, happiness is a thermometer. Is your hap good or your happenings good? You're happy. If your happenings are bad, you're unhappy. So happiness goes up and down with your circumstances. But joy always remains constant because Jesus is constant. I don't like things that happen around me at times. I don't like some of the things I have to get into. But you know what? I still rejoice in the Lord. Paul said they've locked me in, but they can't lock Jesus out. Rejoice in the Lord always. And just in case you didn't hear it, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, because no matter what situation you find yourself in, no matter how tight the stress is, Jesus is in the fire with you. Praise God, He's right there. Listen, He's there comforting you. Jesus is at hand. Praise God. Y'all can get a little happy now. Go ahead. It's all right. Get a little hand clap of praise. He's there. He's there. He's there. He's there. Come on. He's there. That's right. So now, first, rejoice in the Lord. That's your first R&R. Rejoice in the Lord. Remember this tomorrow. Remember this afternoon. Remember this on your ride home. Because on your ride home, Satan's going to take and throw all, you're going to feel good when you leave here, and as soon as you get out there, he's going to throw all this stuff back on you. And before you get home, you're going to leave this in the car and carry what he's given to you on in. Leave what he's giving you in the car and carry this on in. Amen? So first, rejoice in the Lord. Secondly, rely on the power of God. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. That word, be careful, literally means don't be full of care or worry about anything. Don't be full of care or worry about anything. I have discovered when I practice this, life is a whole lot simpler. Situations aren't simpler, but life is. If I can find a way just not to be so full of that care. How do you know if you're full of care and worry? Because that situation is always on your mind. Not only is that situation always on your mind, that situation is always on your mind and trying to conquer you. And so if the situation is on your mind and is trying to conquer you, and then it tries to lie to you and tell you there's no way out, you're worrying about it. We did something the other day in here. It was really cool. I'm going to get y'all to do it too right now. When you look in the mirror in the morning, you know who your biggest critic is? You. Do you know who the funniest person you know in your life is? Don't point up here. The funniest person you know in your life is you. And if you can learn to laugh at yourself, you'll take off some of that stress. When you mess up, laugh. Laugh. I gave the illustration the other night about when DC and Daniel and I were in Benson, and I was teaching them how to fish. And we went to this little pond that was right down from the house. And we'd go there two or three nights a week, and I was teaching them how to fish. And I remember right to start with, we go buy those little lures and do artificial bait fishing. And they would lose the lure, and they would go, Daddy, I'm so sorry. Daddy, please forgive me. I lost the lure. And I go, boys, what did I tell you? Say it out loud. They sell them at Walmart every day. That's right. Or make them at Walmart. Either way, I'd say it both ways. And it took them a while. But after a while, they come to me and go, Daddy, can I have another lure? And I go, what happened? Said, I just lost mine. Why? Because I got told a long time ago by a man much wiser than me, he said, when you got your children with you and when you're trying to teach them something, you'll come out a whole lot better and they will enjoy it and you will enjoy it if you'll take some of that stress off of it and just enjoy it. Just enjoy it. And so for the first month or two, I hardly ever fished. I just let them fish. I tried to fish, but I was busy putting lures on because Walmart had them every day. Amen. So watch this. Here's what you do. When you get up in the morning and when you look in your rearview mirror, when you're getting ready to back out today, every time you look in your mirror at night, in the morning, this is, I'm not trying to teach you to be self-centered. I'm just trying to teach you how to relax and take some of the stress off. Here's what I want you to do. Normally, if you're under stress, you're going to look in that mirror and you're going to fuss at yourself. You should have known better than that. What were you doing? What were you thinking? Here's what I want you to do. Look in the mirror and smile at yourself. Smile. Yeah, you were there Thursday night when we talked about it. Just smile. Just smile. And then after you smile, here it goes. I dare you. Look at yourself and say, when God made you, he was showing off. Look at yourself. Don't look at Brandon. Look at yourself. Look in the mirror and say, when God made you, he was showing off. Because you know why? Because the Bible tells us that we're uniquely and wonderfully made. There's no one like you. You're the only one like you. I have identical twin brothers, and they're so different. They look alike. Their children get them mixed up when they were smaller. But you know what? You know what? They're still different. The same way, listen, look in the mirror. Instead of fussing at yourself, smile. And then remember, when God made you, He was showing off. Try it and see what it'll do. Just see if you'll find something pretty cool coming your way. See, worry is a damaging emotion. It's one of the most damaging there is, because worry is division. And it has the idea, when you talk about worry or careful for nothing, it's talking about literally the Greek is being pulled apart. Now back then, people back then knew exactly what I was talking about, because Christians were put in the arena, and Paul had them put in the arena, and he would talk about them, when they went to jail, he would talk about them so that they would be put in the arena. When they were put in the arena, they would be, some of them, literally, Paul had people done this to. They would get one arm tied to one chariot and one arm tied to another chariot, and they would literally pull them apart while the Romans laughed and cheered. Not only would they pull them apart that way, but they also would throw them in there with lions and let the lions eat them and let them run as they were being torn apart. Paul remembered that. And now Paul's saying, be careful for nothing. Worry is like those lions tearing you apart. Worry is like that chariot, those two chariots, pulling you apart. Matter of fact, think about it this way. Over here's hope, and over here's fear. And you're being pulled in between both of them. So remember, you have to rely on the power of God. I'm almost through. I've only got five things. Y'all remember that, five. Y'all can start counting them down. Number three. Reflect on the provision of the Lord. And he said, be careful for nothing but everything, prayer and supplication. Here's this little dynamic, parenthetical phrase. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Don't you remember something? Thanksgiving is the highest expression of faith. It's your highest expression. I remember when I walked into my daddy's house, and my mama had just died, and I walked in. And I went in and I grabbed her, and her hands were just starting to get cold. And I kissed her on the forehead. And I remember very distinctly, I said, thank you, God. Number one, that she's not hurting me. Thank you, God, that she's with you. And thank you, God, that I've got something to look forward to when I get to the other side. Wow. And I just thanked him and thanked him and thanked him. And I remember many times going into some certain situations, and it'd be terrible situations. And I'd come out of those situations, and as I was walking away, maybe nobody else heard it, but it was there. I'd be thanking God under my breath. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, because you got the answer to whatever this is. You got it. You see, worry is the greatest expression of unbelief, but thanksgiving is the greatest expression of faith. So here's what he's telling you. Refuse to worry. Refuse to worry. You know, when Satan comes and starts planting these ideas in your head, just go, stop it. You know, I find myself riding down the road, or find myself working in the office, or doing something, or writing or working on a sermon, and all of a sudden I find my mind all of a sudden start wandering, or I find myself start thinking negative things, or get myself in a bind thinking about something, you know, or instead of thinking of a positive solution, I'm thinking of the negative recompense and all stuff going on. And I literally have done this so many times. I go, stop it! Stop it! God, you're in control. God, you're in total control. You see, when I do that, when I say stop it, you know what I'm doing? I'm just getting my focus back. You see, instead of stress attacking you, you've got to attack stress. Amen? Here's number four. I'm almost through. Y'all can stop stressing there. Over the hill. and picking up speed. All right. Number four. Rest in the peace of the Lord. The Bible says, "And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." You see, Paul was such a high-profile prisoner. And they knew already what had happened when they tried to put the apostles in prison and how God many times would come in and deliver them. Peter was chained between 16 soldiers when God delivered him. So they know how this is. Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas praying in prison and singing unto God in thanksgiving. And the prison walls, the doors opened up. So they knew this. And so whenever Paul was in prison, Paul just weren't your average everyday prisoner put in minor security. When Paul was put in prison, Paul was put in prison. And so I can see it now. Paul, he's in prison. And while he's in prison, he's guarded by Roman guards. And they'll be guarded day and night. But he knew something that we need to know. He said, "I got something better than that guarding me. I've got the peace of God guarding me." That word keep, that peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds. That word keep means to garrison or to guard. It's a military phrase. He was used to being chained up with these guys. He was used to all this stuff. And he said, look, go ahead and let them chain you up. Let the circumstances try to stop you. But while you're being guarded by the devil, remember, God's got something greater guarding you, and that's His peace. You see, it's the peace of God, not the subtraction of problems. Please listen to that carefully. It's the peace of God, not the subtraction of problems from life. It's the addition of power to meet those problems. It'd be nice if all our problems just went away. Oh, man, it'd be awesome, wouldn't it? But you know what? Nothing will happen. Some of your problems are going to go away. Some of them you're going to have to work through. Some of them you may have to live with, and some you may die with. But God doesn't do anything halfway. Paul asked God to remove the thorn in his flesh. He said he prayed three times, seasons of prayer. If anybody knew how to pray, it was Paul. He prayed and raised the dead. But at the same time, he said, "Lord, take this thorn away from me." And God said, "No, it's got a purpose." So God's not doing anything halfway. He's got a purpose, and the purpose is that thorn kept him where God could use him. So just remember, you don't just keep this peace. This peace keeps you in the middle. Think about it. You're not keeping this peace. This peace is keeping you. It's a peace that passes all understanding. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. And then one more. Guys, get ready. We're getting ready to play something. Y'all getting ready to play something. How do you get over stress? Get through it? Reflect on the purpose of God. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these. I constantly have to look. You're riding down the road, you turn on the news. Wow. You can't even turn on the news anymore without just getting, children are getting actually terrified. But yesterday there was three or four ladies shot in a mall somewhere, I think it was. You know, it's just like, it's happening everywhere now, all over the place. And instead of having these great big old 9/11 things going on, ISIS has got these guys around doing things small, minor, doing it around just to keep people on their toes and to keep people always thinking, are we next? Are we next? Is it going to happen to us? But you know what? I do think about it. You got to think about it. You got to think about it. You need to make some plans. You need to figure out what you're going to do if certain things happen. You don't walk around like Pollyanna. But at the same time, we need to understand we can be selective with what gets in our minds, what we allow to get in our mind. You got to be selective. You got to think about it. What am I letting get in here? You know, you can allow negativism to get into your mind if you want to, and you know what? You're going to be a negative person. Or you can say, there's no room in my mind for you right now, Mr. Negative Thought. I'm too busy thinking about God and thinking about how God's going to help me get through this problem. You know, it's pretty simple. You can. Anybody feel like you're doing that? You're pushing your stress around? Or your stress is pushing you around? You can overcome stress in your life. If you do what we just talked about, guess what's going to happen? This hell's going to be gone. You know, a little boy went out to see the Grand Canyon. And at the same time, while he was out looking, this old preacher was out looking too. And the old preacher, they're on cell phones talking. The old preacher writes or calls his wife and says, "Today I've seen the handiwork of God. I've seen how God has put colors on this palette and how God has took his fingers and sculptured a masterpiece." And he went on in grandiose words just how awesome the Grand Canyon was. That's how he saw it. Little boy called his mom and said, "Guess what, Ma? Today I spit a mile." Get it? The preacher saw beauty. He saw all the stuff, the handiwork of God. And little boy, all he can think about is, wow, that's a big fall there. I can really spit a long way. It's all in how you see it. It's all. You know what? If you open up the book of Philippians was written from jail. Did you know that? When the book of Philippians were written, Paul was literally believing that he could die at any moment. He was on a Roman death watch. I know that he heard, I know that he could hear people screaming in the prison. And I know he could hear them as he'd hear the torture. And so, with all this stuff going on around him, people being tortured, people being killed, people being dragged in, people being stripped and beat, he decides to get out of his pen and say, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice." Knowing that Paul was in prison when he wrote this, and knowing that Paul knew that he could possibly die at any moment, he knew that he may not even finish writing this letter before they come to kill him. But if you pick up the book of Philippians, you'll never smell the dungeon. If you pick up the book of Philippians and read it, you know what you smell? Heaven. Heaven. It's one thing to read the book of Philippians. It's another thing to know what was going on in Paul's life when he wrote it. And to know. Matter of fact, he writes also a little further down, "I have learned that whatsoever state I'm in, that therewith be content. Because God is with me. He is at hand." Wow. Guys, y'all come play some. God knows that we have stress. God knows that there's a lot of stuff we have to deal with. There's a lot of stuff that you cannot avoid. You cannot avoid certain things. So it's not necessarily the absence of problems, but it's the presence of peace that's guarding you. I wonder if I'd stand. God is working in our midst. God is doing a work in our lives. If you will trust Him, you will see God do something that you never expected Him to do. And as you see this, what's going to happen is the more you see this, the more you're going to expect Him to do. God, we love You. We praise Your name. We thank You, God, for all things. We thank You, God, that we're never alone, that we've always got You. You're always by our side. We thank You, God, that we don't have to walk this world alone. We thank You, God, that even though there's problems, You've already seen these problems. And believe it or not, We thank you, God, whether we believe it or not, that you've already filtered the problem through your hands. So you know if we're going to be able to handle it or not. And we know that when you send problems or allow them to come, it's so that we learn to trust in you. I ask you right now, Father, to touch us, to help us, Lord, to realize that. Everything that comes our way has been filtered through your hands. And you said, no matter what happens, you're always going to make a way of escape so that we're able to bear up under this tremendous load. Right now, first I'm just going to do this, and then we're going to have a general altar call, but just let me ask you a question. Everybody's head bowed, every eye closed. Not going to embarrass you. I'm just going to ask you. If you're here this morning and you have felt an unusual surge of stress, and you have felt an unusual press to just give in to the stress, every head bowed, every eye closed, and you're wanting God to shore you up, to get you ready for the next stage. Well, nobody's looking around. Would you raise that hand? Yes, I felt that unusual surge of stress. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them, Lord. And I know it's there. Satan's trying to get me to quit. But I thank you, God, that you're greater than that. Remember, he stands in the fire with you. The three Hebrew boys, when they got out of the fire, they said they were not burnt, they were not singed, you could not smell fire on them. They were in the furnace, but you couldn't smell the effects when they come out. Why? Because Jesus stood by them. What does that mean? When you're in that stress fire right now, if you trust him, when you get out of that stress fire, you can come out unaffected by what Satan sent to destroy you. Right now, there's just a general recall. Just come on. All y'all need to pray. You want to pray about something, anything. You got stress in your life. You know somebody that's stressed out and you want to help. Whatever. You just want to thank God for what a wonderful day. All that will come and pray. All that will come and pray. Come and pray. Thank you, Father.